1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Three Song Stories, the home of the song story and the downright astounding way musical memories bring out the storyteller and our guests. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. Our guest today is Katie O'Connor. Katie's a professor of communication studies at Florida Southwestern State College. She's a PhD candidate at Antioch University, where she's earning her doctorate in leadership and change. She earned her MA in communication studies from Monmouth University, where she focused on public service communication. She says her scholarly interests are community change, diversity and inclusion, global learning, intercultural communication, and public service. Within her work as a scholar, Katie works to integrate community engagement throughout various courses and across the curriculum, and she has presented her work on community engagement at several national and international conferences. Katie was recently awarded Teacher of the Year through the Florida Communication Association, and in her free time, she says she enjoys spending time with her husband, Aaron, and their two sons, Connor and Callum, volunteering and traveling. She came our way via episode 166 guest, Mary Walsh. Hey there, Katie. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for doing this, like I said, on such short notice.
No, thanks for having me.
So you have two little kids.
I do.
Like, one's real little.
One's really little. He's 3 months. Wow. Well, 3 months tomorrow.
3 months tomorrow. And yes. What's his name?
His name is Callum.
Callum. And what's the other one's name?
Connor.
And you're O'Connor.
Okay, so I have to specify. So I didn't take my husband's name professionally. And so his last name is Howe. So it's Connor Howe.
Oh, okay.
Not Connor. I would not do that to him.
Understood.
I'm just a little narcissistic, though, and I wanted my name to live on. So
So we were kind of chatting before the show. I was going to say, if we had started fresh, I was going to say, so you studied communication at FGCU and you had an interdisciplinary minor, so you must know Maria Rocca. So obviously you know Maria.
Yes. She is actually one of my mentors.
She is my matron saint of education and career.
Isn't she?
She's the reason I'm here in this chair talking to you today.
She performed the wedding ceremony for my husband.
Oh, really?
She's incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
we love
so
her.
Cool. Yeah. No, and she's been on the show. Have you heard her episode?
I did.
Yeah. Hers
I
was,
cried.
Hers was a tearjerker.
It really was.
Yeah. Hi, Maria. She's probably listening
to
this.
Oh, hi.
We had her daughter, too.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to Alyssa's as well.
Yeah. Okay. Last question before we start the show. So you're wearing Birkenstocks?
I am.
How long have you had those? I'm trying to gauge. Mine are worn out, and I'm trying to gauge how old is too old.
No, mine are like, I think, 3 years.
Mine are 3 years. Are they slick flat on the bottom?
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, well.
Because mine are like, they're at a point where it's like a...
Around like the
I'm going to send myself
my
to like an orthopedist if I'm not careful with mine in the rain.
I know. Oh, yeah. Well, I won't wear these and carry my kids. I'll tell you that.
Understood. Is that something, have you always had Birkenstocks?
The last few years, I'd say.
I've had them all throughout life. So anyway.
You're cooler than me.
Noticed on the way in. So you grew up in Cape Coral?
I did.
What was like the musical background of your childhood?
Okay. So, well, my aunt is a musician and we kind of grew up singing in the house, like family folk kind of music. I did musical theater as a kid. And so I had that kind of musical background as well.
Which school?
Just on my own.
Oh.
I went to Cultural Park Theater, though,
okay.
Every summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the summer stuff. And I would say just kind of dancing around the house. My mom would sing the, there was like a Cuckoo Katie song from, I guess it was like an old wartime song. I don't know.
Cuckoo Katie.
Yeah, they probably made it up. I don't know. But
okay.
But
we're going to check.
When I was a server, a lot of the older customers would sing it to me. They're like, oh, your name is Katie. Katie. Da-da-da-da. And it was like this whole song. So a lot of singing at home. It was definitely awkward when you're like trying to serve a table and they're singing that to you. You're just like, oh, thank you.
What kind of music was your parents listening to you?
Like a lot of John Denver, James Taylor, Joan Baez.
Were they wearing Birkenstocks?
Yeah. My mom probably, yeah. I would say so.
Did any of that influence you? Is that the kind of music?
Oh, yeah.
That
I would definitely say so. Yeah.
Did you play any instruments?
I tried. I just don't really have the aptitude. I wish I did. I tried the acoustic guitar for a while, and then I tried the piano for a while. It never stuck.
Hmm.
I tried.
When you did theater, like what was your, you know, were you
I would sing.
You were a singer?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a good singer now, though. I don't know what happened, but I used to sing.
You're going to have to sing at some point.
I know.
Do you have any memorable roles or plays that you were in that you can remember?
So we did A Little Princess, mm-hmm. and I was the Princess Lori. So that was like my showstopper moment there.
When you got to school, was theater on your horizon, or what did you do when you like were in high school?
I did it for 2 years, but I was really into like student government at that point and Key Club. I did a lot of like volunteering.
What is Key Club?
It's an organization. It's like the Kiwanis for high school.
Okay.
So you did a lot of like food drives and
volunteer work.
Volunteerism, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that in high school.
What was your musical vibe in high school?
Okay. So I was very eclectic. I would do like, you know, the whole emo thing. It was like circa 2003 to 2005. But then I like also went to like the country concerts, like Keith Urban and Rascal Flatts was just coming out. But then I would also go to like, oh my God, Mayday Parade, like Go Radio. Have you ever heard of Go Radio?
Mm-mm.
They're kind of like punk-ish stuff.
You guys got Go Radio in there?
Go Radio. Goodnight Moon is their like famous one.
Mm.
They're cool. I almost picked
I believe
them.
You.
Like the band?
Yeah.
We had it up, yeah.
What do you mean you had it up?
Oh, like, no, but the band, you want a specific song?
Go Radio, Goodnight Moon.
No, I just was wondering if you were familiar with it, because I'm not.
I am not. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to them.
You're just you.
Just me. Only me.
So, this is the only band I ever knew from Tallahassee now. So, what was
they
it?
Played, they used to play Warped Tour. So, like, that kind of vibe.
Oh, sure, yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
90s punk rock a little bit.
Little-ish, like, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a little 2000s-ish.
What was the first band that was, like, your band?
My band. Oh, man. I don't know if I have, like, maybe my first song, probably. Like, that would be my first band that I was, like, into, I would say.
We'll hold off on that for just a little
bit.
Yeah,
I don't want to go into it.
Do you remember any concerts that you went to in Cape Coral growing up?
Not Cape Coral. So my dad lived in West Palm, and my first concert was actually Aretha Franklin, which was really cool.
In West Palm?
In West Palm, at the Kravis Center, I think it mm-hmm. is. So that was a really cool first concert. And then when I got a little older, I went to Tom Petty with my stepdad at, I think it was Tico Arena back then. Now mm-hmm. it's Hertz.
It's always Tico to me.
Yeah, right? That's how you know you're from here. You're like, oh, it's Tico, right? Yeah.
That must have been cool.
It was awesome. I didn't know that, like, people smoked pot. So that was an interesting situation.
Especially at Tico.
At Tom Petty. I was like, what is that smell? And he's like, let's just, you know, maybe not tell your mother that you were, you know, smelling pot when you were 13 or something. I was like, you know, he told her, but.
Do you remember the first music you owned?
TLC. Crazy, Sexy, Cool.
CD.
On a Walkman. I was 7, so that might not have been the most appropriate choice. I was going up to my cousins. We were really close growing up, and they moved away for 2 years, and we were like so distraught. So I flew up. It was my first plane ride by myself. This is how you know you're like a 90s kid, that you were allowed to fly by yourself at 7. I flew up, and my mom got me a Walkman, and that's the CD I listened to the whole time.
A disc man?
Yeah, like, yeah. It probably was, like, skipping all over the place.
Bass boost.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Earliest musical memory?
Probably just dancing around the house to, like, Annie's song by John Denver.
Why that song in particular? Why do you think that one's
good? I just think it's, like, the most beautiful song. It's just, like, I don't know, just all about, like, love. Like, you love somebody, like, so much. And it's just, I don't know. I love that song.
Did your parents' musical tastes have any divergences that you can remember?
Well, like, I was kind of raised in a very matriarchal, you know, I had my mom, I also had my aunt, the singer aunt, and then I had another aunt. And so it was kind of like all over the place, I would say. And that's probably why my taste is all over the place. Like, I had an aunt who was like really into like, she's a Christian singer. And so it was like very, you know, religious, spiritual music. And then I had an aunt who was really into like pop. So it was like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and like that kind of vibe. And then I have my mom who's really like into folk, Joan Baez, you know, that kind of thing. But then they're from Jersey. So then you have like the Bon Jovi Springsteen thing that you just like have to have. You have to. It's just a rule.
Did you ever bring home any music that they didn't approve of?
You had TLC at 7.
I was going to say, they probably didn't know. I probably just like bought that with my cool aunt and she didn't know about it. I don't know. I never really got into like, you remember when it was like a big thing in like, I don't know, I guess I would have been like 8th grade, 2000s, late 1990s, 2000s, where it was like all the parent advisory stuff. Like I never really got into that. So, but yeah, I remember that time, but I never really was like, oh, I need that explicit version. I didn't really.
When you were a kid, maybe sophomore, junior of high school, what did you think you were going to be when you grew up? Or what did you kind of, what were you tracking toward?
So I was definitely going to be the president.
Of the United States.
Of the United States. Hmm. So
it's not too late.
I didn't make it. No, I'm good. I'm good. Great. I wanted to be, I just wanted to do something that I thought made a difference. And so I was really into volunteerism and I was kind of like in a leadership role throughout my childhood and into young adulthood. And then I always thought, oh, I have to go to an Ivy League school. I have to do this. I had all these like pressures that I put on myself and I decided not to. And I'm glad I did, but I kind of wanted a different path or an actress. I always was really into theater. So I thought, oh, I'll be an actress.
Why communication?
It kind of goes into one of my songs, but I can kind of talk about it if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll hold off. We're going to go to your first song.
I know. I don't know.
What was your first band that you were really into?
Okay. So the first band that I was really into, it's okay. It's kind of dorky, but I mean, it is what it is. I was really into Hanson.
Embrace the dork.
I know.
We embrace the dork on this
They're
show.
They're actually really talented. They are.
I'm not going to dispute that.
Right.
Because I know nothing.
So I was really into Hanson. And so the story is I was bussed around, like school choice, you know. You have kids in the area. You kind of don't always go to the school right next to your house.
Right.
And so I was bused pretty far in elementary school. And on the bus, I met this girl named Katie, and she was deaf, and I wanted to communicate with her because there was no way to communicate at that point. And the school I went to, Allen Park Elementary, actually has that whole center for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. And so I'm like, why are we not communicating with half of the school, like as students? And so I started learning sign language on the bus. And we had a bus assistant at the time, I think her name was Miss Barbara, and she and I would like practice sign language. And so then I was, you know, communicating with Katie a lot. And then I really got into Hanson, and for the Hanson concert, this is like so dorky. I like learned all the sign language.
That's not dorky. That's the sweetest thing ever.
And I was like signing it with my friends. But it was cool because it was like a way for me to communicate with my friend Katie, and then it was a way for me to like, you know, sign at the Hanson concert. I don't know.
Do you still have some of that Hanson sign going?
I was like trying to do it. I can do mbop. It's like because it's easy. Like
let me film this since Tara's not here.
It's like MMMBOP. Do you get it?
Oh, yeah. You find that on Instagram, listeners. So continue. I'm sorry.
No, so that's so we went to this concert. It was in Fort Lauderdale called the Footy Wingding. I guess it's like some radio station used to have some festival. And the big band was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Wow, they're from Florida.
Are they?
Yes, I know that because I talked to an author of a book about bands from Florida on Gulf Coast Life.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so
that's
continue.
Fun fact, okay. So they were like the headliner. Hanson wasn't that famous at the time. They were just like an opening act or something, but I was into it. And it was actually a little bit frustrating. I'm gonna call my cousin out because he came with us, my little cousin Shane, and he was like my brother. And he was so excited to go, blah, blah, blah. And then he got lost. He separated right before Hanson went on. And I'm like, I had this like, oh my goodness, do I watch Hanson or do I look for my cousin?
I know, you're like a responsible person who thinks of others.
For him.
Like, you did?
I did. And I missed almost the whole concert. And I found him at the end and I was like, yeah.
Were you like walking around signing the.
Yeah, I was like, where is he? Like, signing. Because I could still hear it. But we were right in the front and he, you know what I mean? But I'm like,
So you left the front to
I
go
did.
Find. How old were you?
I was probably 10. He was 8, so he was little.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to lose him.
He was not much littler than you. You could have just not looked for him and would not got heat.
No.
What was he doing?
I don't know. I think it was like we had like kind of gotten separated as we were going up to the front, and then we looked back and he wasn't there kind of thing because he was shorter. I was also really tall, so he wasn't, he didn't have his growth spurt
yet. Once you collected him, did you make it back up to the front, or did you ever make
no.
it back
well,
up?
No, because then it was Casey and the Sunshine Band, and we didn't really know them. So we're like, all right, we'll just stay in the back.
So you didn't even like get to see them do their thing, except from maybe a distance while you were looking for your brother?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's okay, though.
Why? Like,
well, because they always do the, I've noticed that the Hanson comes down and they do the hop tour, because they have like their own beer and stuff, and they go to Epcot. So I figured
they're
like,
still around.
Oh, they're still like a band.
What?
Yeah, they have like current music. They just came out with something, I think, like yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to go to Hanson like one day when they come to Epcot, when my kids are a little bit bigger, and make it happen.
So could you hear them do this song?
Oh, no. Yeah, I could hear it.
You could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just like, you know, not quite the same.
I mean, I'll live.
Well, shall we listen to this song?
Yeah, why don't we do it?
Now, do you call the song Mbop?
I just say Mbop by Hanson.
I like to.
You should make it like cool, though.
There's three M's.
Well, when you listen to it, have you heard the song?
I mean, it's hit my ears at some point in my life, but I don't know.
I feel a little bit bad because it's kind of an earworm.
Yeah, it's definitionally an earworm.
So here's the deal. I found, apparently, it was released in 96 on an independent album called Mbop, and then later recorded for an album called Middle of Nowhere, which is probably the one that you recognize. Do you want to play that one?
Yeah, that would probably be the one, because I don't know the other version.
Okay, well then, let's listen to this. This is Mbop by Hanson.
So did anyone else listen to that on B103.9 here in Southwest Florida, or is that just me?
I definitely, so when I was a kid, I used to call, like, constantly, yes, like a crazy person, and just be like, I need to hear Hanson. And they were like, stop calling. And I would just keep calling.
That song's got a lot of energy.
It does.
Yeah, you can say that.
Where were your parents if you lost your 8-year-old and you were 10?
They were at the concert. It was like, we were like, we're going to go up to the front.
Oh, you got separated from your parents, and then you got separated from your younger brother.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So your parents took you to that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really John Denver. Or
no, you know. No. They were very supportive of my interests.
So you haven't seen him yet?
Hanson, no. No. Well, I mean, I saw him then, but not like.
Well, I mean, since
then.
Right. You haven't.
No.
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
Okay. So, but they're still together.
And they have a really, okay. They
are you
really
going to sign
Christmas
when you go?
I might.
You should. You should brush up on your signing.
My husband's like, actually taking an online sign language class right now. So he'll be like, listen, we have a
you
thing
guys
we got to do.
Parts.
Yeah. His first
wear
concert was
shirts.
Hanson too, actually.
What?
Not the same Hanson concert, but he went to.
Where's he from?
He's from, well, originally New York, but here. And his sister was really into Hanson. She's a couple years younger than him. And she went. That was her first concert. And he had to go. And he wore earplugs. I'm like, it was a great concert. And you're wearing earplugs.
How old was he when he wore earplugs?
He was probably like 10. He was just being a brat. He was probably my age. It was probably like
he was wearing earplugs because he didn't like Hanson.
Yeah.
He was dragged to it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. So it's a wrong
thing. Does he still have that obstinate streak?
No. He's actually like the nicest guy. But I just, you know. I was like, why would you waste your first concert? Even if you don't like it. Just try.
Do you listen to Hanson on a regular basis?
No, I do not.
Does he?
No, neither of us do.
You gonna play Hanson for your kids?
Maybe. I would love for them
you
to be in a band.
You can bond with them.
Yeah, because I already have two boys. I mean, you know, they could be a little band.
How many
band.
People are in Hanson?
Three.
So three? Like, oh, three. You're two-thirds to Hanson.
I could do like one of my nephews.
You could have one more kid.
Right.
And you got it.
Right. Or like the Jonas Brothers, you know?
How many of those are there?
Three.
Oh. Jared says four.
There's actually a
Frankie.
Fourth.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, poor
Frankie. But nobody cares about him. So.
I care about him.
See, see the guy that like puts the towels away after the game?
Basically, yeah.
Oh, I just was watching his like. He has like a TikTok, and he always like makes fun of himself for being the fourth Jonas brother. It's very sad, but it's like funny. He's funny.
Kids Bop.
No.
Was that based on Bop?
Oh gosh.
I don't think so, but
did they open that?
I don't know.
You looked so, you're like, oh my God.
This is the end.
Yeah, I feel really bad now.
Yeah. They're going to look to see if there's a connection. So have you been to many concerts besides Hanson when you were 10?
I have. I'm kind of a concert person.
What was
say.
The, have you been to a show? Probably not since you just had a baby, but have you been to a show since things started opening back up?
Not since things have opened up, no.
Do you remember the last concert you saw before things started shutting down?
Don Henley at my girlfriends and I went to Austin. No, we went to Houston. So we went to Austin to see this other band that I'll talk about later. And then we went to Houston to see Don Henley. It was really cool. It was most of the Eagles, but not all of them, obviously. And then Stevie Nicks came out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Very cool.
So that was probably one of the most – oh, my goodness. How could I forget? Phil Collins. Mm. I was pregnant with my son, my first son, and it was right when – he was like in the womb developing the ability to hear. Uh-huh. And where I was like, how cool would it be to take him to Phil Collins? And so we went to the other coast to see Phil Collins, my husband.
Awesome. Yeah. My daughter got to hear a number of really cool concerts when she was still inside.
Right? It's so cool.
What's the day to say on Kids Bop Mop? I just like saying
so, I don't have anything conclusive, but the first Kids Bop was in 2001. So I feel like it's probably...
Was M-Bop on the first Kids Bop?
Oh, this was the song M-Bop.
I'm just going deeper now. Pull up the track list of the first Kids
Bop.
Well,
I think it's on one of them. We're just trying to see which one. These are tours. These are Kid Bop tours that we're looking at now.
Tours? I didn't even know there were tours. I thought they were just things they sold on TV for a special deal. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, okay. I was thinking about this. I'm torn. So I went to a Cher concert, and I'm like not into Cher really. I mean, I like Cher. I respect Cher. Cher is an amazing artist. But I like was with an ex-boyfriend at the time, and his family had an extra ticket, and I was like, sure, I'll go. She is incredible. She is incredible.
How long ago was this?
2013.
Okay.
She was amazing. Like, just incredible. And then I went to Bonnaroo. I was a big Bonnaroo person. And Lionel Richie. And he was just – this was pre-American Idol when he got into that. He was just the most charming, engaging performer I have ever seen in my life. I mean – and he – it was the year – it was either that year or I don't remember. But Elton John was either that year or the following year. And Paul McCartney. And no offense, Lionel blew him out of the water.
Huh.
He was just like – he connected with you. I don't know what it was. And we were pretty far back. But Lionel Richie was – he was amazing.
Kids Bop 1. Disc 2, track 10 is
M-Bop.
Yeah.
Can we pull that up?
Yeah.
No, we should pull up is before we move on.
Oh, yeah. You have a thing.
I have M-Bop in a minor key. Somebody changed the key. Let's listen to a little bit of that, Jared. Oh. It's a little moodier. I don't think it really changed that much.
I thought it still terrible. No, it was just worse to me.
Yeah, that was not.
I like the moodiness of it.
Brooding kids. Bop. So, Lionel Richie killed it at Bonnaroo.
He did. He was incredible.
So you did Bonnaroo a bunch of times?
Three times?
Mm-hmm. We went to Bonnaroo in 2006 when my daughter was 1.5 years old, and we carried her around in a wagon at frickin' Bonnaroo.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was Father's Day that Sunday, and I was walking around, and I had all these dudes coming up to me being like, man, you're my hero. You brought a kid to Bonnaroo.
I bet.
Like, yes.
You were like the coolest.
Yeah.
I have not gone since I had kids.
It was probably a bad decision. In retrospect, there were a couple times where it was like, wow, it's getting really crazy around here. We got a one-year-old. okay, so favorite venue you've ever seen a concert?
Oh, man. Oh, it's one in Orlando that I used to follow. Oh, I saw Ingrid Michaelson there. I'll have to look it up. It's like I still get emails from them. The front view or something. I don't know. It was like this little tiny like hole in the wall venue near Orlando. And I saw Birdie there. You know Birdie?
Mm-mm.
She's from Great Britain. Vocalist. She's incredible. But I saw her and I saw Ingrid Michaelson there. My goodness. Can I look it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Look it up.
Look it up. Might be on my Instagram, actually, because I always tag where I am. It was a while ago. Other than that, though, I mean, the Kravis Center was great because it was small. So, like, if I can't find the name of that one, I would definitely go with the Kravis Center. Because you can kind of see the people. Obviously, you love Bonnaroo. But in terms of getting to be close, you're not close at all, you know. Let me see. Oh, the social.
The social. You said, and it was like, I was thinking.
I thought it started with an F.
I know that venue, actually.
Yeah, it's a great venue, that. Right?
Yeah, a friend of mine was in a Journey tribute band called Frontiers, and they used to play there all the time. I'd drive up. He's from Virginia. They'd come down.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the social. I don't know why I thought it started with an F.
How do you listen to music?
Probably through my phone at the moment. We have a record player at home, but I don't really use it too often. It's like an old one. It was from my grandparents.
You have records to play on it?
Mm-hmm, a couple, whatever they had. And then I've bought a few over the years. But probably through my phone, I listen to like XM radio or, you know, sometimes local stations, Pandora, Amazon Music, that sort of thing.
If you are going to listen to the radio station in your car, what would be the channels you would choose?
So on Sirius XM.
No, I mean like local. Like
local.
FM radio.
Oh, man, it's been a minute. I think I've been doing like 100.1, I think. Mm. Is that the one that's like eclectic? I don't know. I was doing 96.9, and then they got bought by something.
That used to be Wink.
Yeah, Wink. I would listen to that one.
That was like a gold standard growing up in Fort Myers.
Right. Wink. It was like 103.9 or Wink. Like that's what you listen to. So I would say those. I mean, every once in a while I'll listen to like 105.5 or like maybe I'll get into the country and do like 101.9 or something like that. But it's been a minute since I've listened to the local.
Well, it's time for your second song, I'm looking forward to talking about the Ava Brothers because this is the first time a song, except I think I brought it up, but it's the first Ava Brothers song story we've had on the show.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's surprising because they're such storytellers.
Yep.
So, okay. You want to play this one and we can talk about it? It's
absolutely. Head Full of Doubt, Road Full of Promises Road Full of Promise, not Promises.
Did I type it wrong?
No, I don't know. It's either one of those two. It's from their 2009 awesome album, I and Love and You.
And I'm frightened by those who don't see it.
Yeah, so for me, that song is kind of representative of like coming of age, becoming who you are going to be. And so I picked that song. I kind of alluded to this earlier. I always thought like, oh, I have to be the president or I have to be an actress. And I was really into musical theater and politics and leadership and community change. And so I thought that's what I was going to do in some capacity. And so when I went to I thought I was going to go somewhere huge, some big school, and I decided not to. I decided to just say
Yale.
Yeah, right. I didn't even apply. But, like, I was like, oh, I'm totally going to Brown, like, obviously. And so then I was going to go to, like, FSU. I got an FSU, and I was like, oh, I'm going to – and I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And I kind of chickened out in a way, really, and decided to stay home. And then I went to FGCU, which ended up being an amazing opportunity. But when I got there, I didn't do so well. My first couple years.
At FGCU?
Mm-hmm. Because I was just taking whatever I thought. Like, I was just – I just didn't do so hot. I wasn't in any of, like, the major classes yet, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so, I took a poli-sci class, did not do well. Like, just did not.
Were you not putting in the time, or were you just not driving with the content?
It was like, the content. Mm. And it was funny because I ended up – so then I went to an advisor, and they're like, you need to focus, blah, blah, blah. I was doing really well in my theater classes and really well in my English classes and things like that. Actually got a C in public speaking, which is ironic.
Yeah.
And I remember I didn't jive with my faculty, the professor of that class, and Sam Walsh's class was actually next door. And everyone would come out of the class and they're like, oh, we love you, Professor Walsh. You're amazing. And I'm like, I wish I had that professor. And then he was teaching a comedy class. And so it was the theories of comedy class. And I took his class against my advisor's wishes. She was like, come on, like, land the plane, figure it out. And I took
hiding in comedy.
Like, what are you doing? And so then I took his class and I'm like, wow, there's like a method to this. This relates to Aristotle. This is communication. And so I took his class and then I took his nonverbal and then I ended up taking, it was ironic, I ended up taking the intro theories of communication class and the capstone in the same semester because I just went about it all backwards. And then I met Dr. Rocca and all of the other amazing faculty members. I ended up being a TA. And then I decided when I was a TA, I'm like, I want to teach this. This is what I want to do. And so I went to grad school. During grad school, had my radio show, discovered that song. And it just kind of became one of those like pick me up type songs. And now as I'm finishing my dissertation, I'm like, all right, I can do this.
So it's like a motivational song.
Yeah, kind of a hype song.
Well, that's interesting because it's like it's a downer for me.
I'm all over the place.
No, not because of the content, just because I have my own song story that we're not going to get into. But it's kind of like it's not an inspirational song.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. That was 12 years ago.
Okay.
I got to put my glasses on. Your radio show is called Bright Side?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So my faculty member, Dr. Ferguson, he had the show, this radio station, WMCX in Monmouth County, New Jersey, in Monmouth. And we would argue during the he had his pop culture class, and he's like, there's no new content under the sun. Nothing is new. Everything is recycled, blah, blah, blah. And I would always kind of try to see the bright side in class. And he's like, oh, you're all about the bright side. Why don't you start a radio show about it? Like kind of teasing me. And I'm like, okay. And so we started the bright side. And it was myself and this guy, Aaron. And ironically, I married a guy named Aaron, but not the same Aaron. And so it was the bright side with Katie and Aaron. And people would just kind of call in and we would play music that made us happy. And it was really simple.
It was a music show.
Yeah.
It was a happy show.
Happy music show with some talking.
I had an idea 10 years ago, at least probably, and it's probably a good idea. I wanted to have a TV show called GNTV, and it was a TV station that like they came in, they did the news meeting, and it was just good news. They just sent everybody out. They covered good news. The newscast at 5 were good news. They didn't show any of the tornadoes or any of the other crap. GNTV. Somebody should write that down.
There is an Instagram. It's a good news. Good news today, good news something, good news movement.
I'll have to check it
out. They probably stole it from you.
Back to the Avett Brothers, though. Have you seen them live?
I have.
Was that who you saw in Houston?
No.
No, must be the third song.
That's the third song.
Okay. But when did you see Avett Brothers?
2013. up at UCF. There was like a venue right outside UCF, or it might have even been at UCF. I was dating somebody at the time. And we had connected over that band. And he was like, oh, we should go to this concert. And we had been dating for like 2 weeks or something. And I was like, let's do it. Fly by the seat of your pants.
How was it?
It was a great concert. I mean, they're incredible musicians.
I know. And I'm one of my big regrets is like in like 2010, like not long after I Am Loving You came out, a friend of mine who works in radio was like, dude, I've got 2 backstage passes to see Avett Brothers in Tampa. It wasn't even a huge venue. It was like a mid-sized venue. But I had to like get in the car at that moment and go. And I was not really in a condition to get in the car and drive, you know. It was kind of like the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, nah, I'm going to skip it. But now, like, because he has pictures and he was like literally like.
With them.
And that was before. I mean, obviously they were pretty big already at that point, but not like they are now.
No, now it's totally.
Have you seen their Tiny Desk concert?
I watched part of it through NPR.
I have watched that 50 times at least. I just think it's so good because it's them like just hanging out. You know what I mean?
No, they're incredibly talented.
Okay. So does music fit into your job?
So a little bit. I didn't mention this, but I just stopped teaching Foundations of Civic Engagement at FGCU. I was doing both, full-time at FSW and then part-time at FGCU. And it just got to be too much juggling the babies and the 2 positions. And so, right.
Babies in the air.
So I took a couple semesters off. But I would always encourage my students to integrate music into their final archive, like their video archives. I also used to teach humanities and social issues. And every week I would have a song that went with the social issue of the week. And so I would play a lot of music in class and things like that.
Do you listen to music while you're working, like not with students? Like if you're like doing grading and stuff like that, or do you have to like not?
I can't. Like I get too distracted. I like it too much. Sometimes I'll put a little bit on in the background, but for the most part, I just get too like, oh, I want to hear that. Or I sing along or I start dancing. We do a lot of like at my house, just like kind of dancing around and stuff.
Kids aren't dancing quite yet.
The 2-year-old is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves to dance.
Do you and your husband's musical tastes jive?
So we have, yeah, like he likes a lot of like classic rock. I like some classic rock. So yeah, like we kind of come in the middle of like the Phil Collins, you know, Bob Seger. That's like our middle ground, I would say.
Seen any concerts together, I presume?
Yeah, just the Phil Collins, actually. I was going a lot with like my girlfriends. We would go to a lot of concerts together, and then he would just kind of like, you know, he's like, oh, have fun, you know.
Is there any music of his that you would prefer he keep to himself or vice versa?
Well, I mean, he's not really into Hanson, but I don't listen to it on a normal basis, so that's fine. No, I would say, oh, okay. He's Mr. Christmas.
Oh.
And I'm kind of a Grinch. I love Christmas, so like
You're not anti-Christmas.
I'm not anti-Christmas, but like I'm like a Christmas is from December, maybe December 1st through the 25th, hard stop.
Mm-hmm.
So like that whole day after Christmas, people still listening to it, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
He had Christmas on when I left the house today. Like
it's July.
Right. He will have Christmas. He is Mr. Christmas. Like he will have it on year round. I cannot do that. I just can't. But now that I see my kid, like my son gets really excited and he's like, ho, 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 Christmas. And he like loves it. And he dances to it. So I'm not like a Grinch and I don't make him turn it off.
But does he put decorations up in July?
If he could. This man, he's Mr. Christmas. He would if he could. But
I am right there with you. My boyfriend, it's like, oh, because I'm a Halloween aficionado.
Okay.
Which I would have Halloween all year round. So I guess maybe he feels similarly about my Halloween as his I do of his Christmas. But I mean, it is October 31st, November 1st. It's Christmas.
Yes.
And we had the Christmas tree up because he convinced me that we have a fake tree now, which I've had to get on board with. That tree stayed up, let's see, March?
No.
At least March. I mean, it was a struggle to try to get this tree down. And now I have him put up the tree. I have him take down the tree because the tree is his responsibility. But yes, it was Christmas in our house for several months.
Plus,
yes.
if he can make it to like July,
then you're half.
Then he might
July.
As well just keep it up. I mean,
you've passed the halfway point. It's closer to go forward than back.
I do put my Halloween decorations in with the Christmas stuff, so it is kind of a mix.
Maybe you guys should just do both at the same time. It'd be like
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have little bats that hang up. I put little Christmas hats on them, so I try to get in the spirit. But I mean, all year? No, not all year Christmas.
I know. I feel you. So his birthday is in November. It's like early November, November 10th, and he's like, "For my birthday, can I put up my Christmas village?" I'm like, oh. Seriously?
I have a friend whose family, like, for every holiday throughout the year, the entire house is decorated. They leave the tree up. Let's say it's St. Patrick's Day. They have, like, you know, clovers and everything green on the tree, everything around the house, like, all year long. It's just constant decorating.
So they change it for the
That's cool, though.
It's just constant rotation.
We thought about doing
That's
that.
That's clever.
Colin tried to get me to do that as well. But no.
Sneaky.
Not all year round.
I don't decorate for Christmas.
When is your husband's birthday?
November 10th.
Okay. So I was hoping you were going to say like, oh, it's, you know, April and
no,
he wanted to put this tree
no.
up. But I'm like, that seems kind of close. Kind
of. I want to decorate the front of my house for Christmas all year long and take it down on December 1st and put it back up on January 1st just to make my neighbors wonder.
I mean, you would have fans.
I should start an Instagram for my Christmas decorations. what's in your banana bread recipe?
Oh, because
you said that in a thing I read.
Oh, yeah. In my well, I've made it a couple different ways.
You don't have a padded, you know, like
No. Well, sour cream is like the key to make
sour cream.
Yeah, to making it like really moist.
I didn't know that. I use buttermilk in mine.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe that suffices for that same reason.
Have you tried the best carrot cake recipe ever?
No.
It's like Better Home and Gardens.
But I like carrot cake.
It has buttermilk in it. It's delicious.
Okay.
It's like a buttermilk glaze that you put in the carrot cake.
So we had to just get that out there.
Yeah, I can't believe you did research on that. I'm like,
well,
oh,
no,
man.
I just Googled you, and the fourth thing that came down was like 10 questions with Katie O'Connor FSW during the pandemic. And I read through it, and you said you baked banana bread.
I did, yeah.
musicals, plays, stage performances. Is that something that you are into?
It was actually almost my second song, but I went the other way. I was going to pick Defying Gravity from Wicked. I went there. So when I lived in New Jersey, I was only like an hour from the city. And so I would try to go up once a month at least. I would either go to Philly or New York City. And I would try to see a musical each time. So I've seen Lion King, Phantom, Wicked. I saw the Rockettes. What else did I see? Oh, goodness. It's escaping me. But I would just go up whenever anything was. Ghost. Yeah. I would see whatever.
Like the Patrick Swayze movie.
Yeah, they had like a
Broadway.
They
made that into a musical.
Yeah,
did
like
they
an
do the
Broadway.
Whole like the scene with the pottery wheel?
Kind of. It was like interpretive of that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my favorite one.
That's not one that I ever heard about. Probably didn't get too popular.
No, it was definitely off Broadway.
Gotcha. How about here in town? Like Broadway Palm, Barbara B. Mann.
It's been a minute, but I saw Bob Newhart at Barbara B. Mann.
Bob Newhart?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Wow. I would have liked to have seen that.
I met him after.
You're kidding me.
No, if you stand on the side of one of the parking lots at FSW, he'll come out. Well, not him, but
I know exactly where you're talking
about. Right. You stand on the side and they come out and you can meet them. Mm-hmm.
I was there when John Cleese and Eric Idle came out after they did their whatever they were doing. They were doing some sort of crazy stage show and they opened it up there.
That's cool.
Bob Newhart. You've seen his shows?
Yes.
Which do you prefer? Like the old psychiatrist one or the up in Maine one?
No, the old one. I used to watch it was on Nick at Night or something.
Probably, yeah.
I would watch it. Yeah.
I need to go back and watch
it. I know. Now I'm like, wow, I have to think
I actually,
about this.
Maybe a year ago, I went back and watched a couple episodes of the newer one, the one when he ran the bed and breakfast. And the writing is so good. Like, it really was timeless. Like, it doesn't lose anything practically.
He's extremely bright.
Yes.
I think that's the thing I like a lot about a lot of comedians. Like, you kind of get it after a while. You're like, wow, this is still holding up.
Favorite comedian? It's a new question.
Yeah, I don't even know.
This is new territory.
I don't even know. I used to think Amy Schumer was really funny. I mean, I think Seth Rogen is really – I like that kind of like – it's kind of embarrassing, like that Will Ferrell type of comedy. Yeah. Like, I think it's
Will Ferrell's pretty funny.
He's pretty funny. Adam Sandler is pretty funny. Jim Carrey is pretty funny. Bob Newhart, obviously. I don't have like a favorite. I think if you would have asked me like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I probably would have been like, oh, Jim Carrey. But right now, I'm not really sure.
Do you have a favorite movie soundtrack?
Ooh. I was really into The Little Mermaid as a kid.
Under the Sea.
Probably that. Oh, that's a, yeah. I'd have to think about it.
Karaoke?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. You said you don't sing well.
Doesn't matter.
So you don't have the shame toggle. You've got the shame toggle down so you can get up there and just.
Yeah. So, you know, Mona's on college.
Yes.
We used to go to Mona's.
It
I worked in restaurants.
It used to be the place for karaoke.
It was.
Probably still is. But I mean, but back then it was literally the place, like
we
the
would
only
go.
One. Mm-hmm. What would you be like singing?
I would sing. So my girlfriend and I would sing Gangster's Paradise.
Ah.
I would do the rap part and she would do the singing part.
Cool.
We would sing like Dixie Chicks, like the little like wide open spaces.
They're just the Chicks now.
Oh, yeah, the Chicks. Yes. What else? Oh, we would sing like Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Oh.
If we wanted to be like, yeah, everybody, let's
Def
sing.
Leppard.
Yeah. We were just all over the place. My best friend does the best rendition of Fancy you've ever heard. And so normally it's just to get her to sing Fancy and then like the rest of us will do whatever.
Understood. You have a nickname that's stuck over the course of your life.
Well, Katie is a nickname, so.
But I mean, you know, something like not Katie.
Cat. My family calls me Cat or Kate or my nephew and nieces call me KK.
Katie.
Yeah, but that's probably where they got it from.
Do you have any TV theme songs committed to memory that you would sing with us now since we were talking about singing?
Okay. I don't know if anyone's done. I was trying to like pick one that people haven't done. Either like Golden Girls or like Captain Planet. Have you guys done those?
Golden Girls is like in the top 10.
Yeah, probably.
Captain Planet came up once, I think.
I think we did it with Andrea, maybe?
Maybe. We can do Captain Planet.
She was practicing it, I think.
I mean, y'all can do Captain Planet.
I can do Captain Planet.
Yeah, let's do
it. I think I know Captain Planet.
I'm just going to sit back on Captain Planet. Maybe I'll do another David Mayfield horror screen.
Okay. Fire. Wind. Water. Heart. Your powers combined. I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet. He's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
I can't hear you singing.
Sorry. I'm like, that's the only part I know. I forgot I didn't know the rest.
No. Bail on this.
He's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
Help him put asunder bad guys like to
thunder.
Yeah, that's. I was like, I knew that part.
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet. You can be
one too. Cause saving the planet is the thing to do.
Do.
Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
What did he say, Katie? The
power is yours. Yeah, the power's yours. I really loved Heart. He was my favorite.
Mati. It's not a power.
Heart is absolutely
there's
a power.
No, so I have a joke that one of my friends and I, because we both grew up watching this show. Do you remember the whole thing ends with this big fight with like an anti Captain Planet guy, outer space god villain named like Zur or something. And they all try their rings on him and nothing happens. And then he gets to Mati and Mati just goes, I will not fight you, Zur, because my power is heart. And you have none.
I mean, he's not wrong, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Zarm is his name.
Zarm.
Oh my gosh.
I missed Captain Planet.
Yeah. Don Cheadle was Captain Planet for a little bit, if you didn't know. It's a fun fact.
I know who that is.
There was a short-lived live action, I don't even know, maybe just a pilot.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm... This better not be a fever dream. I'm pretty sure I'm... Let's see. Captain Planet. Yeah. And there he is, Don Cheadle, blue makeup, green hair.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks exactly how you think it looks. That's real.
If you were a championship wrestler, what song would you come into the arena with?
Okay. It's called Jump.
Like Van Halen Jump?
No, yeah.
Jump.
Yeah. Who wants you to jump? Yeah. I probably just did it. I butchered it.
It'll be my voice doing it too. You better jump.
Yes, thank you.
I was confused. I thought you must be talking about something other than Jump, which is a song we all know, because you were like, it's a song called Jump. And I'm like, oh, besides Jump, it's a different Jump. That's a good choice, though.
It's been a long night.
It's daytime.
I know.
If you were a cocktail or drink, what would you be?
Okay, so we did like my husband's family does like family reunion type things every year. And they
eggnog.
Right. No, Lord help me. They made us use this really weird liquor. And so I made this like mermaid tears kind of fruity drink. I'd pick something like that.
What would be in your mermaid tears?
So like probably like Malibu and like juice and girly fruity stuff.
Like pineapple juice?
Yeah, like pineapple juice.
Don't be afraid to get detailed
like
with it.
Like blue curacao maybe to make it like mermaidy color. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to get something fruity. A density layered action.
That would be nice.
What kind of garnish maybe?
Definitely probably a pineapple and like a cherry.
Maraschino.
I don't really like maraschino cherries, but it would have to be there, you know?
What would you call it? So would you call it mermaid tears or would you call it something different?
I'd probably call it something, I don't know, maybe like that.
Mermaid tears are kind of dark.
Yeah.
You're like, how would you harvest mermaid tears?
The water's salty.
Say really mean things to them.
The water is salty.
Like if we were living in like a alternate universe and you were harvesting mermaid tears.
Like you don't have legs.
Imagine that factory.
Really dark. Yeah. Okay.
What up, no legs?
Maybe a little more positive. Maybe like
mermaid laughing tears.
Summer fun
happy
break
tears.
Time.
Mermaid happy tears.
No, I like summer
tears
fun
of
time.
Joy. Mermaid's tears of joy.
Mermaid's Happy Tear. No. Okay, so what did you say?
Poor Jared, he's summer rewritten fun. This over
yeah,
and over
like
and over
the
again.
summer fun time. I don't know. It'll be like an adult Capri Sun.
Call it, yeah,
an adult
comma,
Capri
the
Sun.
Summer fun time.
This is probably like the hardest one to write down because I'm hearing so many things and I don't know which one's the
oh, are you
going to
make this?
We're gonna,
yeah,
we're,
this is my job.
We're compiling a cocktail cookbook.
Stop. It's my job to like write this stuff down.
So this
down.
Will be, you know,
oh,
immortalized.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I hope it's
what
good.
Did we land on?
What did we land on?
I think we said like Malibu, Blue Carousel.
No, the name.
Oh, let's call it like Summer Fun Time.
Summer Fun Time. There you go, Jared.
Parentheses, okay. Unicorn Tears. Oh, I mean Mermaid
Tears. Oh, my gosh.
It's time for your third song.
Okay. So this song... like I said, we've gone to Bonnaroo quite a few times, my girlfriends and I. And I think this was my first Bonnaroo, actually. And yeah, we can play the song and then I'll. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A Long and Happy Life by Delta Ray from the 2017 EP, A Long and Happy Life.
My third song, I'm like, I have to pick something that relates to my husband or my kids, right? I'm like, I have to. I'm like, you know, whatever. But they all have their own songs, you know? And so if it were my husband, I didn't want to pick the wedding song because I know that's like against the rules, right? But we have other songs and memories and whatever. And then I'm like, my son Connor's song is Sweet Connor James. We changed baby James to Connor James. And then Callum, when he was born, I just started singing Your Song by Elton John. It just like, but it's like, it's his song. Like, yeah. I don't know how to describe it. And so I'm like, well, I can't do like each of their songs. That would be totally annoying, and I could do it. I definitely could talk about them for an hour. But I was like, what song is kind of like, you know, a story? And so, like I said, I had gone to Bonnaroo with my girlfriends, and I first discovered Delta Ray. They had the song If I Loved You. And that's actually the song I was going to pick. But I was like, I want to end on a positive note. Because If I Loved You is a breakup song. It's like the song that you're like, it's not you. You're just not it.
Yeah.
And I had one of those stories where I heard the song and I'm like, oh, sorry, buddy. And eventually got with my husband, you know. But it was that song was like a pivotal moment in my life where I was like, you realize that this isn't it, right? But then as I kind of grew, Delta Ray's music kind of grew and evolved, and they have some really great music out. A lot of like social justice issues and things like that. And so when I was trying to think of a song to kind of round out my life and my happiness and things like that, that song came to mind.
And you got to see them live?
I did. I've seen them a few times in Austin and then Bonnaroo. And I got to actually meet them in Austin. That was pretty cool. And we were supposed to go. Oh, and I also saw them in, I think, St. Pete. My girlfriends and I saw them a couple different times.
Never seen him with your husband, though, because he doesn't really go.
We went to Phil Collins. He's just like not like he's not as like pick up and go as I am. Not now. Obviously, I have the babies, so I'm not as pick up and go myself.
Would he know that this song was a song you associated with him and your life?
Oh, yeah. We've listened to it. Connor likes it. He dances to it.
Do you listen to a lot of their music?
I would say so.
I've never even heard of them.
Oh, really? They're not like that famous. They're kind of like Bonnaroo famous. They got famous because that actual song, I almost didn't pick that song. They had this little, do you remember that Taylor Swift situation where like she said that the guy stole her music or something? I don't know. So they were doing a fundraiser trying to release a new EP. They're doing a dark and a light, two different sides. And the Swifties came in and donated like $1 million to them.
Those are her fans?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so like Delta Ray, I think it was Scooter McGavin, right? I don't.
Scooter McGavin, was he the guy from Happy Gilmore?
No.
Correct.
Am I saying the wrong thing?
That's Shooter McGavin.
Who was the bad guy that stole Taylor Swift's music?
Oh boy. That is not a Richard.
Shooter Clark. McGavin was a kind of bad guy.
Shooter McGavin was a bad guy.
Am I like pulling things from pop culture and just like going with it?
They're all melding into an amalgamation.
They are. I don't know. There's some bad guy.
No. Yeah, Jared, you don't have to search Shooter McGavin. Yeah. No. Put Taylor Swift music stolen and we'll see what we get here.
Or even Delta Ray Swifties. There was an article about it.
Let's see here. Scooter Braun.
Scooter. Okay. I'm not that.
Music mogul.
It was pretty far off, but not like terrible.
I don't know my music moguls, so.
It was close enough that I got to bring up Happy Gilmore.
Right?
So there's that.
Scooter Braun. There
Scooter
you go.
Braun. So he like stole her music?
I guess. And then he was with them for that song and they were like realized he was going to steal it. I don't know what happened, but they left him. And
he was
Swifties,
like their music mogul manager.
Yes. And the Swifties came in and donated like a bunch of money to them.
To make up for what they were losing for leaving him. And they were so proud of them for making a principled decision.
Yes.
Wow.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. If you could broadcast a song into every person's head simultaneously on the entire planet, which would it be?
Okay. Probably Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. It makes you just want to like get up.
That's true. Jared just gave me thumbs up.
Oh, thank you, Jared.
No, I can
I love
hear
Whitney Houston.
It might be a little weird for people in like sub-Saharan Africa or something, but who knows? Maybe they know Whitney Houston there too. She was as big as the world.
Or even if they don't know her, maybe they'll still be like, this is a bop.
This is a jam.
Right.
What song have you listened to the most in your life, if you had to guess?
Oh, in my life. Probably the song from my wedding video. Mm. It's Jose Gonzalez. I don't know the song's name. I'll have to look it up.
But it's the background music.
Yeah,
for
and
wedding
I like
video,
watch my
which
wedding
you've
video
watched
like
it
8 million times. Yeah.
When was the last time you watched it?
Like a week ago.
Really?
I tried to get my son to watch it. And like, look, mommy.
Probably not that engaging for
he's
a two-year-old.
He's not into it. No. He's like, no.
You might want to wait till he's about 40.
I don't think he'll even care then. He'll be like, whatever. Well, so the fun fact about my wedding, though, was like we had this – have you ever seen Ice Castles? You know, it's like an 80s movie, Ice Castles.
No. Ice Pirates was a good one.
I don't know. There's some song.
Ice Castles.
The Wings of Love or something. I don't know. Our organist was obsessed with playing the song at our wedding. And we were like, no, thank you. We're good.
That's a figure skating movie.
Yes, it is.
I remember that.
Yeah. And he was like.
Through the Eyes of Love.
Through the Eyes of Love.
Let's hear a little.
Oh,
find an organ version.
Scramble.
Find an organ. It sounds like Dracula. I'll warn you.
Find an organ version while we go on. Overplayed song. What is the world's most overplayed song? And bear in mind your husband's a big Christmas fan. So.
I know. I don't want to offend. Well, I lived in Jersey for a minute, and I would say Living on a Prayer is pretty bad. Oh, no. You know what? Yeah. I mean, it's a great song, but it might be.
You had another one.
I was going to say one time I worked at Outback, and the music, you know, it was like that. Wannabe Pandora got stuck on Sheryl Crow. I Want to Soak Up the Sun.
Wow.
For like 3 hours.
Wow.
And so I will never.
Were customers leaving? Could you turn it off? Did you have control?
I don't know why I was just a hostess. And I was like asking my manager because it was driving me like, I was like, please, can we turn this off? Because it was raining. And I'm like, it's raining. Why are we listening to Soak Up the Sun? It's storming out. But yeah.
3 hours of ironic music.
Yeah.
Yes, Jared?
We found a piano cover, not an organ cover.
Okay. Let's try that.
Okay.
So this is the song that he wanted to play, but you would not let him play, or did he play it anyway?
Oh, he did it anyway as we were leaving, like our procession, as we walked down out.
And at that point, like, what are you going to do?
Turn around, run over,
and punch the organist?
I know. We were very explicit on our music choices. Alyssa actually sang at our wedding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it was, like, beautiful, and then all of a sudden he's like, Durner, because he played the organ, so it was not this pretty. It was much more like hearty.
Hearty. It was a heartier version of what you're hearing now. That's funny. What did you guys dance to?
Perfect by Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
But it was before it got popular, so we were almost going to do Sunday Kind of Love. We had it, and then we at the last minute did a little pivot.
Is there any kind of music that you'll avoid listening to? Or a song in particular because of the memory association?
I'm pretty open. I get like over songs like that Sheryl Crow song. I was like, oh, I don't want to listen to that for like 20 years.
If it came on
Wagon
when you were,
Wheel.
Wagon Wheel.
I love Hootie. Derek, I know you are a fan. So like,
I'm not a fan.
I heard that like you.
I like to call him Hootie even though his name's not Hootie.
Thank you. Okay.
That's as close to fan as I get.
Well, I like him as Hootie. And like, I get really, I understand it's like his artistic like choice to be Darius Rucker, and he is Darius Rucker, but I just love Miss Hootie. So like, well, Wagon Wheel comes out, I get so mad.
Wait, I feel like I'm in an actual Key and Peele bit though, because the joke is that he's not Hootie though.
I know, I know, he's really Darius.
No, that's not why. It's because there's no Hootie. The band.
I know. The band is Hootie, but he is Hootie. Like, I know.
But they're the Blowfish.
Have you seen?
So there's got to be a Hootie.
No,
you can't have and the.
Katie, have you seen that bit?
I have, and I know, but I just still. I know.
We are like 1 degree separated from Hootie. Darius.
Oh my gosh, he's never going to be on the show.
Well, he's not going to hear this. What are the chances he's going to hear this? But there is like a non-zero chance that we're going to get him on the show someday.
Yeah, we've been kind of pecking away at it,
but then the pandemic, and so.
And I'd be interested.
We'll have to have a long meeting about whether to bring up the whole Hootie, not Hootie thing.
You will have to chat with his people.
I mean with Richard, me and Richard.
Oh,
Yeah, we'll ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
Are there any bands or musicians you've gotten into, you know, within the last couple of years that you want to give a shout out to?
Oh. Definitely Delta Ray. I should give it a shout out. My cousin's in a band, a local band, Nostalgia.
Oh.
And it's a kind of a reggae meets piano band, like piano music, kind of dinner music. So shout out to Nostalgia.
Is there anything we can search up?
They have a song called Your Eyes. That's my cousin and her husband.
And they play around town?
Yeah.
I mean, now
it's
that
spelled
playing around
Nostalgiah, like Jaw, like a lot of the Jaw movement.
Oh, Nostalgia.
Yeah, like Jaw. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, he's looking that up. Do you listen to albums? I mean, it seems like you're on computer now, so you probably piecemeal.
I piece a lot of stuff together.
Are there any albums that like hold a special place in your heart that you would prefer to try to listen to all the way through?
Whole thing. Unfortunately, with my 2-year-old, I probably don't get a lot of chances to do that nowadays. But I would say the Delta Ray first one. I also love Billy Joel. And so like any of the greatest hits. Tom Petty, Springsteen.
Has your 2-year-old become fixated on any Disney or Pixar movies yet, like in particular?
No.
Usually there's one that'll come along that'll just be like, I'm going to watch Moana for the next 6 months.
It has not.
There's nothing wrong with watching Moana for 6 months, okay? It's a great freaking movie.
I love Moana. Yeah. I wish he would. But
the soundtrack is amazing.
It is. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean.
Yeah. We found Nostalgia Your Eyes, the acoustic session on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's sound.
Wanna play a little bit of that?
Bring it.
Okay.
Where do they play?
They play a lot at the beach. Okay. Weston, like outside of Marker 92 and stuff.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Got a fourth song that almost made it to your list you'd like to share a story about?
Man, you're putting me on the spot. I had a million.
You've kind of mentioned a couple in
passing. Yeah, I was going to say, I have a million. I was really into like Louis Armstrong for a minute when I was a kid. And I had like a Sweet 16 dinner thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wonderful World was like, my mom made like a video montage of my life with that song. So that's kind of a special song to me.
That's a good little short summary of a fourth song possibility. What would your 14-year-old self think of who you are here with us today?
I mean, she'd be a little disappointed I'm not the president, but I think she'd be all right. She would be excited. The thing is, the only reason I wanted to do like politics or acting or anything was because I wanted to try to make the world a better place. I know it sounds really cheesy and cliche, but that's what I wanted to do. And I really feel like I get the opportunity through teaching and through doing service learning projects and community engagement that I can try to do that. And so I think she would be happy. You know, I get to travel. I mean, I'm actually going next summer with my family, my sons. I'm teaching abroad in Italy. And so I'm super excited. Anyone wants to come, sign up through FSW.
How long a stint is that?
I'll teach for the month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be great. I'm teaching intercultural communication over there. And I was, the most exciting part is that we get to do service projects. And so we'll be there for 4 weeks. And I think I'm still designing the class, but I'm going to break it up to be like, 1 week we'll do the arts and we'll volunteer with like an arts organization. 1 week we're going to do food and wine and we'll tour a winery and volunteer at the soup kitchen that I found. And so I kind of found like these different aspects of the Italian culture. So we're going to like do a tour and it'll be in Florence and then we'll volunteer and stuff.
Cool.
I'm really excited.
Well, and in terms of making the world a better place, I mean, as you know, like Maria, you know. You know, I mean, because of her, my life went a certain way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I feel like it went in a beneficial way. It's not just me, but maybe other people. So,
yeah.
You know, that's what the impact. Have you had any students like that, that you've like, you know, that you've really, really connected with, that you feel like, you know, you see on cool trajectories that you helped put them on?
Well, I don't want to give myself that much credit, but I definitely have some amazing students.
Name names. Give us their emails. We're going to fact check. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
No. I do. I have some. I actually, so my dissertation, I'm looking at community engagement as a leadership development tool for women. And so I interviewed a few of my former students. I'm doing phenomenological analysis. So
big word.
I know. Yeah. But it's stories.
Well, I know.
Yeah, that. You know what I mean? It's stories. I know. And so, yeah, some fantastic students. I have a lot of students right now who are teachers. One student just graduated law school. A couple students that are one of them, I just saw that he got a grant from the Entrepreneurship Runway,
mm-hmm.
and he's starting this plant thing out in Pine Island. So, yeah.
Like some growing cool, things?
Yeah, some pretty cool students.
What would you like to tell your 14-year-old self if you could send back a, you know, short message?
I would say just enjoy the ride. You're going to make it, kid. Keep going.
It's time to recommend three people.
Okay. Well, one is so Gulf Coast Wesley, FGCU's Wesley Church thing, Reverend Christy Holden. She's awesome. Really kind of integrated into the community. She's really awesome. I think she would do a great job. One of my childhood friends, her name is Martin Knob, and she's in PR locally. She's really involved in like Southwest Florida movings and happenings and stuff like that. And then I would say my third, I haven't consulted with these people, so hopefully.
That's okay.
I would say Carl Burnside. So he's the principal over at Dunbar High School.
Yeah, yeah. I had him on the Gulf Coast Life once a couple
Did
years
you?
Ago. Yeah.
He was my
I'd
boss.
I'd love to have him on. Yeah.
I taught. So I worked 2 years at Dunbar when I was working on my PhD. Other than Maria, one of the best bosses I've ever had. He's just an awesome human.
Yeah. Well, make that happen. I mean, try to make the other two
happen. I was going to call
make
him.
Carl in particular.
I'll call him.
He's sort of been on my list in a weird way.
Yeah. He's okay. Awesome.
Well, you've done it.
Thank you.
Do you have any following thoughts? Do you have any final thoughts?
This is awesome. I really, really appreciate your, you know, engaging with me in this time. And thank you.
Cool. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you.
We make three song stories in the studios of WGCU Public Radio on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida. Richard Chinqui is co-creator and producer. Tara Callaghan is online content producer and host. Jared the intern Gonzalez directed today's show. Chris Duffus is executive producer. And our theme song was made by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. For this week's parting tune, we're time traveling back 1 year to episode 124 with poet Sarah Comito. Her first song story was about being in a minivan on the way to the Las Vegas airport with her dad as he scrambled to find this song on his playlist so she can hear it before she got on the plane. Egg and Daughter Night is the third track of Prine's final album, The Tree of Forgiveness, which was released in 2018. Sarah said her dad first introduced her to John Prine.
This song, there's a lot of silly nonsense, but it couches, you know, some real deep universal themes like the endless march of time and, you know, the march toward our own mortality. And speaking of which, when John Prine died a couple of months ago because of this damn virus, it really hit me hard, more so than, you know, usual celebrity deaths do, I think, because of that connection to my dad. And he's like the same age, more or less. I just have to think that is a reminder to stay true to oneself, you know, in the face of everything else that's swirling around you. And if you don't know the story of Egg and Daughter Night, I had to look it up. It was a real phenomenon, probably might still be, I don't know, Lincoln, Nebraska. The egg farmers would all go to town on a specified night and go sell their wares, but before they did that, they'd drop their daughters off at the local skating rink And the local menfolk knew about this, and they would go and try to get the attention of some of those young ladies while they were at the skating rink.
Keep listening.